So what are the supply chain risk in global procurement? Increased level of supply lead times, and this we have already said, because sea transport is one of the lowest or the low speed kind of a transport. Vessels don't necessarily travel at a very fast rate. So your typical lead times, you know, as I said, from Europe will be 3 to 4 weeks. So when you have higher lead times, you know, you are going to have to make some adjustments with your inventory levels, etc. You will have to carry higher inventories as compared to, suppose, if your supplier was located next door. Increased transportation and logistics cost. So naturally, if your supplier is located 8,000 kilometers away, so that's going to add to your transportation cost, your logistics cost. You'll also have the related cost of you know, custom duty, etc. In case you are paying duty, unless you are exporting the material and you are under a scheme where you can import the material duty free. But nevertheless, for you know, the clearing, forwarding activities, etc., you will have to incur costs. So all these costs are going to add up to your product cost. Delivery concerns from supplier end, again, because of you know, the distance and the lead time and the vagaries, because let us say that the vessel has already sailed, but if there is a typhoon or if there is a storm or so, it can happen, you know, that the shipping schedules may be disturbed. Many a times it so happens that there are certain ports which are highly congested, and because of that, the vessel has to wait midstream 3 to 4 days. Sometimes they don't have to, I mean, if they are waiting for 3 4 days and they don't get a berth, they may even bypass the port. That means they will, instead of offloading the material at the port, skip the port and go away. Imagine if your material is on that vessel and if your port has been skipped, then this is the kind of you know, risk that you're also carrying, because this kind of delivery, you know, I would say vagaries are bound to affect you. Variation in the quality of the material. This really is not that big a concern, because if you have selected your supplier carefully, then you should not have this problem. Also, if you have a local, you know, procurement office which is auditing the operations, then such kind of failures normally should not be faced. But yes, it can happen. And the point is that suppose a batch that you received is rejected, then getting a replenishment is going to take longer. So this is, you can consider it as one more risk. High level of dependence on suppliers' intellectual property in certain cases. So as we said, you know, if you are buying a material which has got an intellectual property which involves high technology, so we talk about, you know, some very sophisticated components like what you now have in the electric vehicles, some very advanced you know, power control systems, or even touchscreen, you know, for your iPhones, etc. So this kind of a thing may involve intellectual property. There could be patents. So there you are dependent on only one supplier, because other people cannot supply, maybe because of the patent or the technology not being known to other suppliers. So in that case, you are dependent on a single supplier. Cultural and language barriers. So, you know, if you are bringing it from Korea or Japan or China, then you can at times have this kind of cultural barriers. So what are the benefits of engaging a global sourcing executive? So we talked about the global procurement representatives. So let's look at what are the benefits of engaging a sourcing executive, global sourcing executive. So one is the reduced search and response time, because obviously if you are engaging a person who happens to be from the place, you know, where the material is going to be supplied, then he has a thorough knowledge of the industry, of the suppliers, of the competitive advantage that they have. No overhead cost, as the agent works primarily on a commission basis. Now, you can have this kind of agents who work on a commission, or it may so happen that you may even have to recruit someone. If your procurement is huge and it's strategic in nature for your company, then you may set up your own office, and you know, you may even recruit the people. But if that's not the case, it may not justify setting up an office there, in which case you can take the advantage of an agent who will simply work on the commission basis. Overseas representatives are aware of the reputation and delivery capabilities of the supplier. So that, like we said, you know, since they know the supplier, the reputation, the capabilities that they have, they will be better able to advise you. Ability to find small and medium suppliers with quality deliverable, which lead to substantial reduction in cost. So sometimes, you know, globally, you may know only the big suppliers who are probably having a better visibility or better reach. But there could be smaller suppliers, you know, who are equally capable of supplying and meeting your requirement. They may not be, you know, catering to a large number of customers, but they have the technical capability to meet your requirement. And in such cases, you are bound to get a better deal. Commercially, you know, you can get a much better deal because they have less overheads compared to some of the big names. So a local agent can help you in identifying this kind of suppliers. Higher level of awareness and understanding of local customs and culture. So naturally, the local representative, if he belongs to the same culture, he has a better understanding. The ease of doing business is much better. Like, for example, I mean, if you have to do business in Japan or China, then you have to be familiar with the customs. I'm told that even if you have to do business there, you have to wine and dine with them. So it's important that, you know, business is not as we see it in one particular country. Every country has its own style, and you know, you need to sometimes align with the culture if you really wish to, you know, set up a collaboration and do meaningful business. Improved negotiation opportunities, naturally, because since he knows the strengths, the weaknesses of all the suppliers, as we also said, you know, that other than the top names, he may also know the smaller manufacturers who are equally capable of meeting your demand in your meeting your requirements. So it will offer you much better negotiation opportunities, and you can get a better deal. Facilitates performance of on-site supplier inspection. So he also can do the on-site inspection audits. You know, he can check the process, and he becomes your eye-ears, you know, in the supplier place. Faster communications and expediting the supply chain. So he becomes the middleman. He becomes, you know, the person who keeps you updated on what is happening at the supplier end, and also he can help you to expedite the supply chain, more or less like your local procurement office. You know, it's only that instead of your own office, you have a representative here. So now we come to the services provided by the overseas sourcing agent. So what are the services overseas sourcing agent will provide? Understanding the purchaser's requirement in detail. So sourcing agents are generally agents who do this job for a number of companies, and they specialize in it. They are like a conduit, or you know, the middleman between the sellers and the buyers. So what they will try to do is understand your requirement in detail. They are more professional, and they will try to match your requirement with the supplier who is capable of supplying or meeting your requirement. Finding and qualifying potential suppliers that meet the purchaser's requirement, which is what we just covered. Helping potential suppliers understand requirements and ensure they provide all information necessary to the buyer. So they make sure that the information flow is complete on both the sides. Your requirements are known to the supplier. The supplier also understands your requirement, and anything that you know, need to know with the supplier in terms of you know, the infrastructure that they have, the quality standards they have, the other customers they are catering to, they can share a lot of information which can give you the confidence and help you in choosing the right supplier. Obtaining quotes and details of rates and commercials. So this is, we come to the commercial part. First we looked at the technical part, and the commercial part is, you know, getting the quotes and the commercials. And we say quotes and rates and commercials because it's not only about the price, it's about the Incoterms, whether, you know, the material will be supplied Ex-Works, FOB, FCA, CIF, CFR, or DDU, DDP, and also the kind of payment terms that he's offering, whether he's offering you LC, which entails a certain cost to the buyer. Generally for industrial supplies and regular supplies, you know, nobody does LC, but you can also get credit terms. So whether you are getting cash against document or you're getting a credit, you know, so the overseas sourcing agent can help you with all these things. Negotiations with a supplier in the best interest of the buyer. In fact, a good overseas sourcing agent will look at the best interest of both the parties. So he will basically try and see that you get what you want, whereas the supplier also has a win-win kind of a deal in the process. Because these people are working actually long-term and they're working for multiple companies. Going further, arranging for the evaluation visits by purchaser. Certain products may require the buyer to visit the premises of the purchaser. So in case you decide to visit the country or visit the supplier, then the overseas sourcing agent will actually organize your visit, and he will escort you. He will take you around so that you don't need to know the country and you don't have to fumble around. And he, you know, it can save a lot of time and effort on your side, you know, to find your way. Escorting purchasers while in the country at the sourcing location, I think we have covered it in the earlier point. Ensure that the orders are entered and placed. So they will also ensure that, you know, when you are releasing the purchase orders, they are acknowledged by the supplier, and the deliveries, etc., that you have requested, they will also ensure that you get a confirmation. Resolve any issues or differences between the buyer and the seller. So in case of any conflict which may be there, any issues which are there, they will also try to resolve it amicably. So, and since most of the communication happens also through them, they will be in a position to resolve it better. Facilitate timely communication with the stakeholders. So any changes, any untoward incident, any delays which are likely to happen, they will be able to communicate in a timely fashion. Expedite for delivery as per the provided timelines of the buyer. So they will also be following up on your orders, and they will make sure that the shipment of the material happens as per the delivery schedules which are provided. So it should neither be early nor it should be late, because sometimes tendency of the seller is to, if he has idle capacities, he'll try to, ship the material a little early. So, and sometimes that is not desirable. Resolve any quality issues and initiate resolution or corrective steps. So let us say that there is some quality issue being faced. They will also help you to resolve it. Since they are located close to the supplier, they can go to the root cause and really find out whether there is an issue. Also, you know, since they are involved in the technical discussions where they have communicated your technical requirements, your specifications to the supplier, likewise the capability of the supplier is communicated to you. So they will try to even resolve any quality issues. Orders can be placed on OSA, who will place the same on the end supplier. So many a times, instead of you directly placing the order on the supplier with a copy to the overseas agent, you can place the order on the overseas sourcing agent, and he will place the order on the local supplier you know, on your behalf. OSA can arrange for making payments to supplier and obtaining the settlement of the purchase contract. So, apart from placing order, they can also sometimes make the payment to the supplier. We have seen this kind of cases where, you know, the agents are actually making the payment. They are simply the agent, but they are paying for the supply of the material, etc. They also become a kind of a guarantor in this kind of transactions. With sufficient delegation of authority by the purchaser, the OSA can perform inspection of the product, supplier site, etc. as required. So, more or less what we have discussed in the local purchase office or in terms of the local representative, here they need to be authorized to carry out inspection, audits, etc. at the supplier site. Often the OSA can assume full responsibility for the quality and meeting other requirement of the purchasers. So, it's not restricted to just, ensuring the timely delivery of the material, but they take complete responsibility for all the requirement, quality, packaging, shipping schedules, that is timely shipment, etc. So, what are the advantages of engaging an overseas sourcing agent? So, the search and response period is significantly reduced because they are knowledgeable about the market. You really don't need to do a lot of scrutiny. They will come, most of the overseas sourcing agent will tell you what are the choices you have, what are the advantages or disadvantages of each of them, both in terms of technical as well as the commercial terms. So, it's easier for you to shortlist a supplier based on, you know, the information which is provided to you. The OSA generally works on commission basis, which is of assistance to the buyer, as significant payments are to be made only on success. So, we already covered this earlier that they also can make a payment on your behalf, which actually eases some of the load on you. Of course, you have to pay the OSA, so it's not that he's going to pay out of his pocket, but at least you are not under pressure, especially when the terms of payment are a little stringent. OSAs are aware of the reputation of the supplier overseas and they share this understanding and knowledge with the buyer entity. We already covered this in the first point because they have in-depth knowledge about suppliers, the kind of a competition which exists, the strength and the weaknesses that they have. So, this information is available to you without much effort. OSAs have an ability to locate and discover very small and obscure. This point also we have seen in the representative, overseas representative, because since they are in the know of the market, they can get you very good suppliers who are capable, may not have very huge capacities, but they are capable of meeting your requirement and they can get you a very good deal. OSAs are well aware of the customs and the culture. This point we have covered already. OSAs are able to act as in country escorts for the buyer. This point I will not elaborate because we have already talked about it. This is true for any local representative, whether it's an outsourcing agent, whether it's a local procurement office or it's a local agent that you have engaged. The buyer has chance of improved negotiations with the supplier through engagement of the OSAs. Very true, because they are like corporates, some of the overseas sourcing agents, quite influential, and they can certainly leverage the negotiations in your favor. So, your chances of getting the best kind of a deal is higher when you engage OSAs. They can perform the necessary inspections and provide a report to the buyer, which we have already covered. OSAs play an important role in expediting and providing communication. This part also we have covered. So, basically, if you look at, you know, the advantages of an outsourcing agent, a local procurement office, or having a sourcing agent, you know, a representative in the country of the seller, more or less has equal kind of advantages. There will be very fine differences that when you come to overseas sourcing agent who are a little more organized, they are more like small agents or companies, so they have better influence, more information about these suppliers. Let's now come to the disadvantages. So engaging an overseas sourcing agent may lead to additional cost to the direct material, which can range from 5 to 20%. So since they are companies or small you can say firms which are handling this, and they have an organization, they have higher overheads, so the commission they charge will usually be a little more than if you were to work through a local representative. May limit the number of potential suppliers, as the OSA could be aware of few suppliers. Generally, I would not agree to this, because this could be true for any of the other people. So whether you have a local procurement office, you have a local representative, or you have an overseas sourcing agent, any of these can be ignorant about certain suppliers in the market. But largely because they are operating in certain areas of expertise, they would generally know the people. Buyers may face difficulty in terms of identification of right OSA. Yes, there may be a large number of overseas sourcing agents, and the challenge here is selecting the right OSA. So maybe you have a choice of 40 or 50 OSAs, and how do you know which is the best for you? Because also the best ones will be charging you more, and are you really going to get that kind of a value? So this again, you may require some local knowledge to basically choose the best OSA. Successful OSA model works in the relationship is continued for a long term. So normally this kind of a relationship is never for a short term period. So it's not that have a successful contract or agreement with a supplier and then the OSA is out. You tend to engage them because also you may not continue with the same supplier for long, which means that the overseas sourcing agent will be required in case you are innovating, you're going in for new models, and you find that your existing supplier doesn't have the technology or the technical upgradation to cater to the new requirement. So you will continuously need their support to identify new suppliers. There could be conflict of interest if the OSAs are also paid by the supplier. So these are the unethical practices which could be happening. So it could be that for setting up a contract, the supplier also may be paying something to the OSA, and this will be certainly a conflict of interest, because he will not be showing you the right supplier, but he will be showing you a supplier where he has a better benefit. So one has to be careful about this. It is very difficult to remove OSA from supplier-purchaser relationship over a longer horizon. We have faced this, that we had a overseas sourcing agent. We found that we were not really very satisfied with them, and we wanted to remove them. And we did remove them, but then we did have some interference from the OSA over a certain period of time. So one thing, have a relationship. Number two, in case the relationship sours, they can also interfere. So they can also go and tell a supplier things that you do not want them to do, which may actually affect your relationship with the supplier or your future supplies. So key strategic initiatives in global procurement. So procurement spend map. Do you understand the overall spend at an organizational level rather than just divisional or geographic level? So what do we mean by this? When you have a category manager, let us say a category manager specializes in buying a certain kind of a component. What is important is he has to have a procurement spend map in terms of the spend is geographically happening to what extent across the globe. So it's not necessary that he knows about the spend only in a particular region. Now, when you say a region, it could be a part of a country, or it could be a continent, right? Or just a geographic level. It is necessary that the category manager, in global procurement, knows what is the total spend. And why it is necessary? Because he can leverage this to negotiate better. Higher the volumes you have to negotiate, the better equipped you are to get the best possible deal. Because you offer a very large chunk of business, even the suppliers, the seller, is interested in investing less effort with one large customer than investing efforts with a large number of small customers. Savings generated. How much and when does your company have right balance between short-term and long-term savings? So it could be that, there are certain savings that you are talking short-term, and there are some savings which we are talking long-term. To give you a classic case, when you try to negotiate, many a times you reach a situation that you find the seller has taken you for granted, and we have faced this kind of a situation. He takes a very hard stand, he doesn't want to negotiate. Now, when you are talking of the long-term savings, what you are looking at is that, can I look at another supplier, even if it means a lot of effort? So it could mean a huge investment of efforts, manpower, maybe training activity that I need to do this to develop another vendor. There may be a cost in switching from one vendor to the other. So here I can look at a long-term benefit, and I can switch to a vendor who's willing to give me a much better commercial deal over a longer period of time. Only thing is, in the short term, I have to make an investment. So it could be that, today I may not be saving when I make the switch, but in the long horizon, in the long term, I stand to gain if I switch to another supplier. So these needs to be kept in mind, that sometimes, yes, you may go for the short-term benefits when you are facing very tough competition and it's a matter of survival. Your concern is how you will survive this season. Take the example of COVID, when the pressures are high, and if your the product is facing tough competition in the market because the demand has fallen, your goal will be a short-term saving to be generated so that you can actually cut prices of your product in the market and gain the business to keep your plants running. At other times, you may have a different perspective, and you may look at the long-term savings. Saving initiatives across the value chain. Does your organization consider a big picture and not just the unit cost when evaluating the global procurement strategies? This is also, when we talk of the cost of ownership, it's not just the landed cost of the material at your premises, but it is the ease of use, even the disposal of the material, or like if you're buying something, like any advanced machines or systems, then what is the kind of a recurring cost that you're going to incur by way of annual maintenance cost, by training, by upgradation, any software upgradation, etc., which has to be done. So you have to look at the savings, not just in terms of the landed cost at your doorsteps, but you have to look at the total savings that you're achieving, the total cost of ownership. Contract and supplier relationship management framework. It is important that the value generated is not lost due to lack of comprehensive contract management framework that delivers the expected performance and also helps the organizations to manage the risks well. What does it mean? You may have a fantastic contract, but if your contract is not managed well, you could still lose money. Many a times this happens that we start with very good intentions. We have a excellent contract in place, but when you actually start operating against the contract, you find that some of the benefits are lost because the people down the line are not aware of how you are supposed to operate or what will give you a benefit. So it's important that you have a framework for the contract and the supplier relationship management, so that you know you derive the best out of the contract that you have entered into. Procurement capability and operating model. Is the global procurement setup designed for success, and whether the company has adequate global sourcing expertise? So it's not that if you procure globally, you know, you're going to be better than local procurement. There has to be a very clear strategy. Your operating model also has to be such that you overall gain. So like we said, if you are going to procure globally, you're going to have to hold higher inventories. In emergency, you will be required to bring the material by air. But at the end of the day, what really matters is, are you gaining in the process? Were you better off procuring it locally with a lower lead time, lesser inventory, or are you better off procuring it globally? And managing this process requires the expertise. So the question also is whether the company has adequate expertise in deciding this, because you go for a global procurement only when you have sufficient advantage, strategic advantage in doing so. Thank you.